The Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show, the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com, your destination for all things gardening year-round. Over 1,000 garden videos, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, replays of the radio show, and digital magazines, a whole lot more. Well, what we have had problems this year with, and maybe you have not, and I applaud you for that, is we've had problems with our tomatoes. We grow approximately 38 to 42 varieties of tomatoes, somewhere in that realm. I think under the tool tab on our website, there's on maybe the tomato tab, we've listed all the tomato varieties in which we grow and whether they're determinate, indeterminate, and the days of maturity. So that's a little guide there, and you have to explore around. There's so much stuff on our website. I really have a hard time remembering everything that's there. But we had a number of problems that happened to them. We did everything that we felt was right. Come this spring, if you remember the spring way back when, it was extremely wet, extremely muddy, and we essentially, in the farmer's terms, we mudded the stuff in.
Right.
Because there was a certain time we had to get it in. Memorial Day weekend is really the guide of where we shoot for. We have planted them as late as the first week in June. Well, it was extremely wet, extremely muddy. We were fighting rain showers to get them in, but we put them in the ground. Things looked good. Well, they grew to what I thought was a good state, and they just never did put on the foliage that I thought they should have. They were just very thin-looking plants. Well, we ended up with early blight to begin with, and even though we did the necessary precautions, there was some early blight that developed on these plants, and that's really what's going to happen no matter what, unless you have a solid barrier between ground and soil. Early blight is bacteria or fungus that splashes up from the soil onto your lower leaves of your plant, changing them from a green to a yellowish spotty color, and then the plant progressively dies from the bottom up. The leaves do. You can prevent that or greatly reduce that by using yellow whole grain cornmeal, which we did, and we had a barrier of leaves and dry grass clippings. It reduced it by, 80-90%, but we still had some, and we still had to continue to trim those dead limbs off, as well as keeping space between ground level and about 6 to 8 inches up the plant.
So that definitely does, that does help with early blight. And as Joy had mentioned, the trimming and the mulching, can help. However, as we got into the summer.
Well, we didn't have, the only problem we really didn't have was blossom end rot.
Right. We definitely didn't have that.
Blossom end rot, for those who are not familiar, is you harvest the red tomato and you flip it upside down. There's a big black spot on the bottom of it. That occurs when the plant is not able to pick up the calcium that is in the soil to help finish developing the tomato fruit itself because it's too dry. The plant can't access the calcium. You'll see this a lot more in container gardening than you do in traditional ground gardening or raised beds because there typically is moisture if you regularly water. The only problem, we did see it in our containers a little bit, but otherwise that early spring, that early development of the fruit, we didn't see it that much, but that's what blossom end rot is on your plants.
Okay, so then as we got into the summer and as things, our weather changed a lot.
Dried out.
Yeah, hot to cold and then cold to hot and who knows? But then things started to dry out, and this is where we saw a lot of the problems.
Well, we made the mistake. We've got an drip irrigation system, and because it was so wet in the spring, we decided, we're not going to take the day and put it all in because, it was just wet. Why put an irrigation system in when it's just completely mud and rain every third day? Well, it turned off, and we gambled wrong on that, and that hurt the production of the tomato plant.
And as we always say, we make mistakes too, and we learn from them, and I think we definitely learned from that this year.
Well, then we had the drought, and then we began to see spider mites and white flies. And white flies is a telltale sign something's not right.
White flies will essentially come out and attack your plants when things are not good. It's kind of like when you're not feeling well and you catch a cold, your immune system is down. And it's kind of like that for your plants.
So the plants were already, dealing with the drought. So that was strike one. And then with that stress of the plant, white flies came. And that was a strike two. And then we had spider mites, which are microscopic little spider insects that weave little webs underneath the leaves and start eating holes in the leaves. So that was strike three. We have got tomatoes off the plant, okay? It's not like, but last year we were getting 10, 20 pounds a week off. This year we were getting 5, 6, 7 pounds a week off of the tomatoes. Then we also have some spottiness on the tomatoes, some fungal problems, as well as we are developing late blight, which is...
Well, late blight is actually an airborne fungi that exists in the area, and it travels through the air. So if you do get late blight, you definitely want to remove those plants. You don't want to burn them. You don't want to put them in your compost. You want to basically put them in your trash.
The reason why you don't want to put late blight plants in your compost or in the city municipality or on the street for the city for them to pick up and compost is late blight. The telltale signs you have late blight is large brown to black spottiness on the fruit as well as on the plant's limbs. You can go to your favorite search engine and type in tomato late blight, and you'll see immediately what you're dealing with. Now, we had this later on in the year. From what I'm seeing now, we are developing some late blight. The reason why you don't want to compost it yourself or put it in the city pile for them to compost is because late blight, when it gets cold enough here in Wisconsin, the spores will die off, which is what we want. But if you put it in your compost pile or you take it to the city for them to compost piles stay warm. Those spores will stay warm, and then you will introduce those back into your garden if it's in your own compost pile or if somebody else has put in the municipal compost pile at the city for them to pick up during leaf pickup. You can go and get that compost, bring it back to your garden, and introduce that late blight, those spores, into your garden. So it's best just to put it in the trash. Don't burn it again because that will go in the air and can cause problems down the road as well. But we want to just get rid of it. There are some copper fungicides in which you can spray on your plants. If you have late blight, we'll kind of slow it down. There's no known cure for late blight. And it's basically your plant's going to die. Just get rid of your plants and call it quits and try again next year is essentially what is occurring with your late blight issues. Other problems we had, again, we talked about the spottiness. If you have late blight, you don't want to eat that fruit because those spores of that disease is on the fruit. You don't want to eat that. You don't want to can that. You're pretty much done.
Definitely.
With that. But we had the drought, and that was the biggest.
I think that's what kind of
spiraled everything.
Yeah, and as we mentioned, we've learned from that. And even if we think we're going to have this superbly wet summer,
we're going to spend the time to put the
be
irrigation
prepared
system.
And not scared. Essentially,
yeah, we're going to put the irrigation system in. Real quick, what are some we can control spider mites by spraying one tablespoon of liquid seaweed to 1 gallon of water every 2 to 3 weeks on your plants. We didn't do this. What that does. It toughens that liquid seaweed, which you can get at your local independent garden center. I believe Blue Mills carries it. You can get that. It toughens the leaves. It strengthens the leaf structure, and the spider mites can't bite into the plant, and they go to your neighbor's yard instead. They'll find other plants that they can chew on instead of the tomatoes. But it doesn't kill the spider mites. It just toughens it to where they can't eat the plants.
They must not be too determined. But to get rid of white flies,
yeah, go ahead and let's talk about that real quick.
You want to do a soapy water spray. So essentially like a couple drops of dish soap in 2 cups of water or so. And then probably about a teaspoon to tablespoon of rubbing alcohol.
And we have, and not just tomatoes, we've got white flies on our good zucchini plants in the garden as well. And I talked to the neighbor who does a lot of landscaping and garden and flower work, and he said a lot of his clients are experiencing white flies this year more than they ever have before.
Oh, you know what? I'm sorry. I said that wrong. So it's a tablespoon of liquid dish soap, and it's a 2 to 5 ration of the rubbing alcohol to the water. So if you're at 32 ounces, then which is a quart, then you're going to figure 2 to 5. So unfortunately, that doesn't really work out very mathematically well for 32 ounces.
Add more alcohol than you...
you necessarily don't want to do that, but just kind of...
Make the fraction go round it up.
Right. Yeah. So then that is one way, and then you can coat the leaves of the plants. You can also use neem oil, but you want to make sure you're using cold-pressed neem oil.
Top and bottom leaves, everything. Soak it down, the whole deal.